180 of them are about the tribulation.
That's a lot. You understand how big this is in the Bible? It's massive, talking about the future wrath of God. And the tribulation is when God pours his wrath upon the earth, and he calls it the Great Tribulation, and it's in Isaiah 13, 24, 27. Okay? Now remember where we are. We're looking at what God expects from his people, and then we're looking at his future plans for his people. What would be God's plan for the tribulation? What do you think God wants to do besides killing? You know what happens in the tribulation? One half of all people die. In just 3.5 years, in a period of 42 months, half of all the people on earth died. The Bible says that. Half. Every other person died. Why would God do that? What do you think his plans... See, everything in the Bible has to do with God's plans for his people. Who are God's chosen people of promise in the Old Testament? What are they called? Israel. The Jews. What does the tribulation do for the Jews? Have you ever thought about that? God has a plan. It's how the Jews come to Christ. Did you know that? Here, I'll give you a quick illustration of what happens in the tribulation. In the tribulation, the Antichrist in the world is hunting the Jews, and he keeps hunting them and hunting them and hunting them till all the Jews are gathered in Jerusalem. On the whole earth, all Jews. Finally, all the Jewish people in the whole world are in one place. And that's what... Have you ever heard of the Battle of Armageddon? Armageddon? The final war? Have you heard of that? Jew, have you heard of Armageddon? Probably, I don't know what it is in Korean. What's it in Korean?
Armageddon.
There. Monica said it. It's the final war. Armageddon. It's in a place. You're going there with Mark Sprout. And see, it's a place. It's a battlefield. Megiddo. And R means the hill of Megiddo, and that's where the battle takes place. So all the Jews are here, and the armies are just a little bit up from them in Armageddon, a place in Israel. And they're starting to march down toward Jerusalem. And what happens is they start killing the Jews. They're all in one place. Satan has a plan. He wants to kill all the Jews. You ever wonder why the Iranians don't like Israel? You ever wonder why the Arabs don't like Israel? They didn't think of it. They're related. Did you know that the Israelis and the Arabs are cousins? They're from the same basic father back there through two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. And so they're cousins. But they're fighting. The Arabs actually... Israel's really not fighting the Arabs. They're only defending themselves. The Arabs are trying to destroy Israel all the time. Why? Because Satan knows that God has written all this stuff down in his Word, his plans. 20% of the Bible is about the end. And Satan says, if I get rid of the Jews, the Bible won't come true. So Satan wants to destroy Israel. So he gets so close right here. And out of all the Jews, 2/3 of them, 66%, are slaughtered. And actually, that's what Zechariah, I'm not doing the minor prophets here, but Zechariah chapter 12 and 14 say that 2/3 of the Jews, it's really graphic, it's awful, it says they're raped, pillaged, and murdered. So 2/3 of all the Jews are slaughtered. And the army is coming in. There's nowhere to go. And they can see all the way around them. The armies are coming and killing, and they're coming toward the middle. And right as the armies get right up to Jerusalem and start in
the people in Jerusalem, the Jews, go like this. We believe that you're the Messiah. Save us now. And Jesus comes through the sky at that exact moment, Revelation 19 says, and he destroys all the armies of the world. The whole purpose of the tribulation is to get one global rule by one ruler to gradually get all the Jews into Jerusalem and corner them and start another Holocaust. And when it gets down to one-third, they realize they have no hope on earth, and they say, save us. Kind of like Manasseh, with the big ring in his nose. He finally looked up and said, I was wrong. I'm sorry. You know what the Jews say? We're sorry we crucified you. Thank you for dying for us. And they get saved. So that's the purpose of the tribulation. And that's what the Bible talks about. These are the key chapters. We're right here in this section, 24 to 27. The first part of that is about Babylon, verses 1 through 5, and also throughout the chapter. But here's why it's important. The day of the Lord, look at this. There are 19 indisputable uses of day of the Lord in the Old Testament, 4 in the New Testament. Old Testament prophets use day of the Lord to describe near historical, that means events right then, and far eschatological, that's future. 6 times it's called the day of doom, 4 times the day of vengeance. The New Testament calls it a day of wrath. Remember I said over there that's one of God's attributes. A day of visitation, the great day of God Almighty. That's what Armageddon is called. That's in chapter 16 of Revelation, Armageddon. There are terrifying judgments from God for the overwhelming sinfulness of the world. So, the day of the Lord. Basically, the whole book of Revelation is about that. And Revelation 6 to 8, let's see, the day of the Lord. This isn't in your notes. I got to keep track of what's in your notes. Let me just read to you what goes on in Revelation. It says in Revelation that smoke comes out of the pit like the smoke of the furnace, and the air is darkened by reason of the smoke, and out come demons that are as big as horses. Have you ever seen a horse? You know how big a horse is? There are demons. Demons are fallen angels that are the size of horses that can wound people like a scorpion. Do you know how do you say scorpion in Korean? Scorpion. Yeah, you know, the one that the tail gets you. Did you know a scorpion sting is very painful and you can die from it? But it's very painful. They say it's like blinding pain from that sting. That's what these demons do to people for a space of 6 months. They keep stinging the people. And demons, you know, demons, the Bible says, cannot be stopped by doors because they can go through things because they're spirits. And so it's horrible that they can invade and do all this. Basically, God unveils the judgments in Revelation as 7 seals. They start in chapter 6 and go through 8:1. Then chapter 8 verse 1 starts 7 trumpets, goes through Revelation 11. And then the 7 bowls start with Revelation 11 and end at Armageddon. Basically, the tribulation, the first half, is when the Antichrist sets up his rule. Then everything starts going bad, the second half, and this is when the horrors begin. So that takes us to Isaiah 24. So turn from 13 to 24. Let's look at the tribulation, the plan God has for the future. Isaiah 24 and verse 1. Let's see, where did I leave off? Could you read who's read last? So it's Naomi's turn. And she's turning to chapter 24. And we're just going to read verse 1. And then Sam, right? Sam? Okay, you get verse 19 of chapter 24. 19.
And Michael, you get verse 20. Okay, so first one is one. Okay, Naomi.
Behold, the Lord can
empty the earth and make it fruitful.
He will
afflict
it with
it and cry
the
answer. Now that is one verse describing that. The whole surface of the earth gets distorted. God causes there to be fires where all the grass, there's smoke, and everything's burning. God causes meteorite showers to come. And when the meteorites hit, they have like some poison in them. The Bible calls it wormwood. But basically, it poisons the surface water. So people start digging wells to get water. Because you have to have water every 4 days or you die. And the Lord poisons the groundwater too. It's just, Revelation is the most horrible time there is. Now, keep going to Sam, and look what it says in verse 19.
The earth is utterly broken, the earth is split apart, the earth is finally shaken.
Now, the Bible says in Revelation, there will be earthquakes so strong that every island will sink. Don't be at the BI during the tribulation. Isn't this an island?
Yeah.
The Bible says, during the tribulation, every island will move out of this place and sink. I wonder if Japan and Australia are considered islands. You understand what I mean? There are earthquakes so big that are coming. It's like nothing we've seen yet. Because the tribulation is the worst time the earth is going through. The earth cannot survive what God does to it. He's doing it, though, for one purpose. It's the 7-year period to get the attention of the Jews. Don't you wish they would listen? He's doing this to get them to turn. That's how much God wants the Jewish people to be saved. It's just like us. Jesus wants us to be saved so much he came, and what did he do? Died on the cross. That's an ultimate desire. God so wants the world, he sent his son to die. God so wants the Jews that he's sending the great tribulation to get their attention. Okay, next verse. Michael's going to read verse 20.
The earth staggers on the ground. It's shaped like a hook. Its transgressions lie heavy upon it, and it falls and will not rise again.
It's a time that Jesus said in Matthew 24, if I don't stop this, no one will stay alive. Jesus said, if I didn't shorten the time from the 7 years, no human would be left. Jesus said it. Jesus. Does Jesus tell the truth? Yes. By the way, are there any questions? Some of you, I've gone so fast, and I know that you have questions, and I want to write down over here questions you have, and I know we're all asking one on the break. Can you kind of remind me a little bit what you said? It was about Jesus forgives all sins, but
then before he dies, you can.
Okay. What we were talking about is, if Jesus forgives all sins, what about those people that say they're Christians and they keep sinning, everything they want to sin, but just before they die, they repent? And basically, that's describing Constantine, the Roman Emperor. That's what he did. So that's a good question, Raul, and I will try to, before the end of the class period today, get to that. Thanks. Who else has a question? Something that I didn't answer or that I brought up? Cody.
What do you believe happens to Christians during the tribulation?
What do I believe Christians during tribulation? My opinion is interesting, but the Bible actually answers that one, so I can show you what
Lord said about that. Who else has a question? Yes, Naomi?
Like the second coming back for Jesus, like the second coming back with the first one. So how's that going to happen for me? Where does the second coming of Jesus happen?
Well, that, I'm glad you asked that because I haven't heard about it. And so let me show you. Okay? This is everything God says happens between now and the end. This is us. We're right here. The next thing that happens for us is that we are raptured. See, we're taken out of this world. John 14 explains where we're going. Luke 24 and Acts 1 tells us what it's going to look like. 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4 totally explain this rapture of the church. So if that's first, what we do in heaven is we are standing before the judgment seat of Christ. You remember that river of fire? You remember last hour? We were fired. That's when that happens. And the church is in heaven. We see them in Revelation 4 and 5 and 19, 1 to 10, in heaven. Then starts this. And that's the tribulation that I'm talking about now. This. All this takes place right here. Then Jesus comes back. That's Armageddon. Remember what I had drawn where Israel was surrounded and being killed. And he comes and rescues them. This man, or in Revelation 20, is called the millennium. That's mille is another Latin word. The word millennium is not in the Bible. It's a Latin word. Mille means a thousand. And so what it does say in the Bible six times is that Jesus rules for 1,000 years. Six times it says in these verses, 1,000 years. So how long does Jesus rule in the millennium? Yes.
1,000 years.
Oh, be more confident than that. God said it six times. How long does Jesus rule in the millennium?
1,000 years.
And that's what millennium means. It's not in the Bible, the word. That's a Latin word, millennium. But the concept, the word is 1,000 years, which theologians call millennium. Mille, thousand. Annum means years. Okay, so it's a word. Then, the great white throne, right here. And then, heaven. Revelation 21 and 22. Basically, you could outline the whole Bible like this. The first two chapters introduce us to the Creator. Starting in chapter 3, the Gospels, remember the proto-evangelium I told you about, that the seed of the woman who crushed the serpent. That's the introduction of the Redeemer. That goes all the way through Revelation 5. All of the Bible from Genesis 3 to Revelation 5 is all about the redemption of God. And then Jesus comes back starting in Revelation 6 during what's called the tribulation as the judge. He is the judge. And it ends in Revelation 20 when it says, I saw the dead, small and great standing before the throne, and Jesus is the judge. So that outlines the Bible. Now let's go to chapter 25, because thankfully, in the middle of all that horrible stuff, God says some exciting stuff. We need Noah, if you could read verse 1, and then Sophia, if you could read verse 8 of Isaiah 25. So Noah, verse 1.
O Lord, you are my God, I will exalt you, I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, transformed of all the people and good.
And verse 8.
He will dwell with them forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away his tears from all things. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth where the Lord has spoken.
Wow. Does anybody recognize what Sophia just read? That's a verse read out of Revelation. He will wipe, that's Revelation 21. He will wipe away all tears. So you see that even in the midst of this, half of all people dying and the Jews, two-thirds of them killed, the Lord keeps putting in all these wonderful promises, like, I'll wipe away all tears, and
you know, I offer you hope. Also, what's the purpose of the tribulation? There's going to come a time after the tribulation when Israel's restored. Did you know that for 1,000 years? Oh my. This is one of my favorite things most people don't even realize. The Bible, in the Old Testament, remember I told you that 20% of the Old Testament is about the future of Israel. This is what God says. God is building a 25,000 cubit square. Now, what is a cubit? A cubit is 1/2 of a meter, okay? So, 12,500 meters by 12,500 meters. A square. We would say, that's in English, that would be 7 miles by 7 miles, or 10 kilometers. So imagine 10 kilometers long, 10 kilometers wide, a square. In the center of this is the temple that's described in Ezekiel 40 to 48. Look at that. 8 chapters describe this temple right there. And this 10 kilometer by 10 kilometer square, 7 by 7, is going to be in Jerusalem. So this is called the Millennial Temple. Millennial Temple. So for 1,000 years, there'll be a temple. And everything is described in Ezekiel, in Isaiah, in Micah. Those prophets are the primary ones that describe this place. And basically what it says is going to happen is God restores Israel. Jerusalem becomes the center of the world. And here, God is so clever. Everybody is going to be living on a nearly perfect earth. There's going to be no poisonous snakes, no poisonous spiders, no scorpions, no carnivorous animals. In other words, bears and lions and leopards, no one kills anyone. Yes, ma'am? Always. Always. Here, I grant bathroom permission for the perpetuity of my tenure. Just come and go. I mean, you guys are servants of the Lord. And so during this time, God invites everybody on earth, Isaiah tells us, to come 3 times a year to visit this place. I call it God's Visitor Center. You know, when you come to Jeju, they have a visitor center, you get maps, and you hear about the history of Jeju. You know, wherever you go, in America, everything is a visitor center, and they tell you about how nice it is there. Well, God's visitor center for the whole world is right there. And if you don't come when God invites you to come 3 times a year, wherever you live on the planet, here's the earth. Let's say that here is Jerusalem, and you live over here in India. There's Jerusalem. If you don't come to the visitor center, wherever you live, here's your block, and all the farms are like this, and this is you, and all your neighbors went to the visitor center, and you didn't, guess what happens to your farm? The Bible says, it will not rain on your crops, and they won't grow. God literally forces people to either come and learn about Him, or they pay a price. They don't have anything growing in their fields. So guess what? He's trying them all to come. This is where Jesus will be. You ever wonder where He is during 1,000 years? He's sitting here. This visitor center is for people to meet Him. You can take your friends. People bring people to church to meet Jesus. How would you like to bring them in person? I mean, He's there. He's going to be there for 1,000 years. Wow. That's restored Israel. Okay, how is all this going to happen? Now I'm going to talk really rapidly. I have 33 slides to cover in 15 minutes. That's 30 seconds per slide. Number one, Isaiah 13:6-2 describes the specific details of the end of the world that are Jesus' gospel and Matthew that are expanded into Revelation. Here's what Jesus says. All of these are the beginning of sorrows. When you see all these things, know the time is near at the door. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation, what generation? The generation that sees these things will not pass away. What things will they see? Well, here's what the Bible describes. The Bible says there's been a time on earth when all who dwell on the earth are going to see the same thing at once. Now, think for a second what I just said. Did you know that the Roman Empire was so big that the emperor himself died and the people did not know it in the empire for 6 months? Because news traveled in the ancient world at the speed of horse, you know, how fast horses could go, or at the speed of, you know, walking, or the speed of sailing. And so news traveled at those speeds, which isn't very fast. But there are going to be events where people actually see, the whole world sees what's happening in Jerusalem. Well, I just looked this off the internet. This is Facebook Live. Yesterday, these are all the people on their phones broadcasting the green ones. And the blue ones are people watching. And it's not just Facebook Live. Everybody, Twitter has a live feed. Everybody has live feeds. You can watch. I mean, people are taking their phones out and they're doing concerts. And everybody's watching the concert that's not there. And other people are taking pictures of the Australian fires. And people over here in Australia, this is where the fires are right now, on this coast. Look at all the green right there. They're showing the fire, and everybody is watching that. This has never happened in history. Did you know, today, everybody in the world can see the same event, almost as it happens? You all know that, because you grew up in it. You know, in my time, you didn't know about stuff until it hit the newspaper the next day or a week later, whenever we found out about it. It traveled at the speed of horse and walking and sailing. Second thing is, Jesus said the gospel would be preached in all the world, to all nations. When did they even know what all the world and the nations were? Look, this is a satellite map. Do you know when people knew the world was that big when we finally got satellites? They had no idea. Even sailing, they had no idea. Even airplanes, they didn't know about parts of the earth. There's so much the earth nobody knew was inhabited. There were just these tribes in the middle of a valley. Do you know what this map is of? These are the unreached people groups. The red dots are the people that have no Christian that is part of their group and no one that speaks their language and no Bible. So notice where most of them are. India, the subcontinent, sub-Saharan Africa, the Arab Peninsula, China and Southeast Asia, and the islands, and a few scattered tribal groups in the Americas. Those people don't have the gospel. This is by the Southern Baptists, called the International IMB, International Mission Board. Do you know why that's there? Wycliffe, Bible Translators, has a plan today to get every one of those groups. There are actually kids training right now how to translate the Bible into those groups. And they're planning to move there and do it. Jesus said, the whole world's going to be reached. We didn't know how big the world was until after 1958. That's 60 years ago. How about this? The Bible says that there will be pestilences, that's plagues, all over the world. All over the world. This, I clipped off an article. This is the aisle of an airplane. Those are airplane seats. And what this article said is, the current plague, Ebola, you know what Ebola is? It's where blood comes out of all your pores. It comes out of your eyes, your ears. It just, your blood just starts coming out. And you just, it's a horrible plague, right now confined to a little part of Africa. And it's transmitted by monkeys. and people that hunt monkeys and eat the monkeys, they get Ebola and then they bleed. It's either monkeys or my blood touching you. But you know what it says? It takes 72 hours for Ebola to fully form. So if I get it, get on an airplane, and start having a little bloody nose and a few drips are on the seat, or in the restroom, or on the handle at the airport, Ebola can spread around the world in 72 hours. Do you know why? Because we have not, this is a close-up electron microscope of this antibiotic-resistant germs and viruses. Scientists are deathly afraid of what's happening. We've taken so many pills that we've trained bugs. The ones that get killed by the pills are weak, the antibiotics. The rest of them get stronger. And now we have creatures that are so strong, no medicine touches them. And terrorists know that. And terrorists are growing those bugs. And they're hoping to spread them to kill with bugs. And they can do it because the Bible says, at the time of the end, many will run to and fro. Run to and fro, Daniel said. 3,000 years ago, Jonah got on a boat very much like the boat that 2,000 years ago Paul got on when he sailed on his missionary journeys, which is very much like the boat that Columbus got on, who sailed from Europe and found America, which was just like the boat that Ben Franklin sailed back to France to get money during the American Revolution. Travel did not change from the beginning of time up until 100 years ago. And you know what happened 100 years ago? The invention, first of the steam engine, then of the locomotive, then of the airplane, and then of the car, and then of the airplane. And so basically, this year, 4,590,000,000 people are going to fly this year. You know what the Bible said a long time ago? You'll notice the end of the world when many people will travel all over the world. Bonnie and I, just us two, we travel, each of us, 125,000 miles. That's five times around the equator every year. We just fly. We actually spend a portion of our life in airplanes. 125,000 miles? We're not even big travelers. You ought to see the people that travel all the time. They travel 500,000 miles. I don't know how they do it. You know, Daniel also said this. Not only will people travel a lot, knowledge shall increase. Now, one word explains that. Google. Did you know what I have in my pocket? The sum total of everything humans know in the world right now. You can find it if you have a search engine. Google has taken their machines and have read in every book in every library that they can get into all over the world. They have trained, they call it the Gutenberg Project. It's the sum total of all known facts in the world and fake news, okay? That's not all the Bible says. Jesus said this in Luke 21. There's a time coming when the seas and the waves will roar, weather, and men's hearts will fail them from fear. This word, fail them, is an interesting word. It's the word apsuko, which is actually two words, apo and suke. Suke is your spirit, the invisible internal part of you. Apo means cut out. What this means is people will be so afraid of what they see that are coming on the earth. They're going to be going like this, and they're going to go, oh, the fire's coming my way. And they'll be so afraid as they see the fire or the tsunami or the earthquake. They just die. This happens all the time. In missile attacks, like in Israel, Israel has these warning systems, and if the missile's coming, the people have 5 seconds to get to cover. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000. So everybody stays within 5 seconds of a place to run where they can escape the missile. And they have all kinds of shelters and safe rooms and everything. Every time those sirens go off in Israel, someone dies. Because they go, I can't make it. And
their hearts fail them from fear. You know, Jesus said the whole world is going to get to this point. What's going to happen is inescapable climate change. You're seeing it right now. Every time you hear about climate change, it goes, I know about that. Basically, look what happened this summer. That's the Eiffel Tower. What does that say? That's the highest recorded temperature ever in Europe. Ever. 180 degrees? It's not that hot in Europe. Ever. I mean, never recorded. It's so hot that the farmers said their manure piles were exploding because the methane was growing so fast that they just exploded all over Europe. It's unbelievable. That's not all the Bible says it happened. It says no one could buy or sell without the number of his name. Now, of course, what is that? People talk about tattooed numbers here, and it's 666, and people think it's going to be a barcode or a chip. What they fail to realize is it's already happened. Did you know you cannot really buy or pay without money in numbers? Does anybody really use, does anybody use this anymore? Most Americans have no paper money at all. What do they use? They use MasterCard, PayPal, Square Cash, Visa, Alipay, Apple Pay, Venmo, whatever. Facebook has Libra now. They want that. Now look at this. This is something else. It says on their right hands or on their foreheads, there's going to be a number. Now watch. This is what happens every time you go through the airport. Today, you go through any airport, especially in China, and now in America, and they're scanning your face, and they're identifying you. China just developed a camera that can scan 25,000 faces at the same time. So they're scanning everyone crossing every intersection in all the countries or all the parts of China. It's unbelievable. God said there's going to come a time when if you don't have a number and if you don't make the scan, you won't make it. Here's another thing Jesus said. Unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. There's going to come a time of weapons of global destruction. Back in the Bible times, you could only kill someone if you got close enough to them with a knife, with a sword, with a spear, with a rock, with an arrow. But how far can an arrow go? That's as far as they could fight. After that, most people, ran away. I mean, they start killing, over here, and anybody that's smart, you go. The Bible says there's going to come a time when everyone can be killed. I mean, here, atomic weapons. Look where the atomic weapons are. I mean, the UK has 215, China has 280, North Korea, they're pretty close, I would say, have 15, India, Pakistan, Israel. Israel has far more than 80, they just won't admit it. Do you know what the Israelis developed? Their country is so small that they said if one of those goes off, it'll ruin our country. So they invented something that's called the neutron bomb. And the neutron bomb only gives out the neutrons, and it only kills organic life. It doesn't hurt anything. If you drop a neutron bomb, it would kill all the plants and people here. And so all the trees would wither and the grass would turn brown, and all the people would melt. But it wouldn't hurt the buildings. Everything else, I mean, all the kitchen would still be here, the tables, the guitar would still be here. It's just we would all die. And they have developed this because they say, if we start getting cornered, we're going to get rid of all the people around us. Did you know Isaiah 17 explains what happens? That's going to come tomorrow. Or maybe later today, I don't know when. Also, this global desire, this coexistence is, I mean, that's very popular in America. Kind of get everybody together, the Muslims, the peace people, and, the secular revolution, and the Star of David, and little yin and yang, and the Christians. That's exactly what the Bible says. The Antichrist brings global peace before global Holocaust. And, of course, the world's going in debt. And finally, Jesus said the end is when all the nations of the earth gather against Israel. Zechariah wrote this. I bet he had trouble writing it. Like, I can't believe that everybody's going to come against us.
Well, look at what, this is a map right out of Bloomberg, American publication. These are all the countries that are against Iran. Saudi Arabia and Iran are fighting each other. The red ones are allied, and the green ones are in alliance. And basically, the only thing the red and green agree on is they hate Israel. Everything else they disagree on. And the time is coming. Look at the top Iranian general says, we're awaiting orders to destroy Israel. Awaiting orders to destroy Israel? Wow. The only thing we can take with us to heaven are what? What does that word say? Say it out loud. My question to you is, are you sharing the gospel as often as possible? Martin Luther, the reformer, said, I only have 2 days in my schedule. Today, and the day I stand in front of Jesus. The day I stand in front of Jesus is the greatest day of my life. I get to answer whether or not I live for Him. That's what motivated the early church. They were looking forward to the day that Jesus Christ would come. And this is what I ask you. And we might get done 15 seconds early. Are you living like Jesus was coming to get you today? Because you're living in what the Bible describes as the last days. You just saw it. Everything Jesus said would happen at the end. We're the first generation to see all of them happen. Time for another break. I'll still be here when you come back. So.